Hey, internet friends. Do you ever wonder about the person you could have become if your potential was fully realized and you were given the space and tools to unlock the resources tucked away inside yourself? After all, if a touch of brilliance lies curled up inside of everyone, what purpose does it serve if it's only dimly perceived? Throughout our lives, we're told we will be defined by what we did. But what if we're really defined by what we didn't do? Meanwhile, the world watches on as seemingly organic individuals meet their fullest potential, forever leaving an impact on society, propelling us into the black box of a new world order. Today, we're going to talk about the hijacking of human potential, spending a few moments at a summer camp for gifted children, taking a closer look at the famous alumni, who they connected with thereafter, and the effects of these individuals on society. There's a lot to unpack. So let's begin. America's first research university that would go on to serve as the basis for modern medical education began at an end. The end of Johns Hopkins' life. Johns Hopkins was a Quaker man turned successful businessman and investor who left the equivalent of $150 million in today's money to establish a hospital, orphanage, and university in his name. Johns Hopkins donated a fortune with a specific vision to create better healthcare through education. And so, Johns Hopkins University opened in 1876 in downtown Baltimore. And I know it might seem strange, but we can't really talk about Johns Hopkins University without talking about Yale, an academic powerhouse 267 miles away from Johns Hopkins, where leaders of the brave new world have been molded and sculpted for centuries. From Samuel Morse and Noah Webster to Alan Dershowitz, Hillary and Bill Clinton, Meryl Streep and Anderson Cooper, a mere selection of the finest trained by Yale. But within the tombs of Yale, there exist several premier societies, once cloaked in a fog of secrecy. These societies are skilled at identifying unique individuals amongst the crowd. Famous members of Yale's notorious secret society, Skull and Bones, include America's most powerful families, the Rockefellers, Vanderbilts, and the Fords, as well as American presidents, William Howard Taft, George Bush, and George W. Bush. To state the obvious here, the nature of secret societies is that they're, well, they're secret. Their activities are secret. But it's rumored that out of Skull and Bones, future world leaders emerge who have and will bring about a new world order. And beyond those rumors, there's talk that Skull and Bones directly controlled the CIA. But is that really true, or is it only true in a world of speculation? What's the point of secret societies if they never exercise their power? All of this information comes into play when we acknowledge that out of Yale, there were four men who would play a pivotal role in shaping not only Johns Hopkins University, but the future of medicine and neurosurgery in America. Of those four men, there were three who belonged to the premier secret societies at Yale, two of them being bonesmen. And that brings us back to Johns Hopkins University, which is most known for innovations in medical research, pioneering the field of genetic engineering, opening the first American School of Public Health, and making Johns Hopkins Hospital a top medical institution worldwide. But that's not all they're known for. Beginning in 1979, Johns Hopkins University offered a program that was set on identifying academically gifted seventh graders, providing students with accelerated classes and coursework on the weekends and throughout the summer. Dr. Julian Stanley was the mastermind behind the program, using the SAT, or Scholastic Aptitude Test, to identify exceptionally talented middle school students. Originally from Macon, Georgia, Dr. Stanley served in the Army Air Corps Chemical Warfare Division during the Second World War. When he returned, he completed his education at Harvard, taking a teaching position in educational psychology at several different colleges, eventually ascending to Stanford University, then finally, Johns Hopkins. Dr. Stanley was famous for his work in psychometrics, or the science of measuring mental capabilities and processes. He modeled what would become the Johns Hopkins Center for Talented Youth from a pre-existing study, the Genetic Studies of Genius series, which meant he measured the effects of short and long-term rigorous academic studies by following his students throughout their lives. Historically, the talent search involved taking the SAT in seventh grade, Admittance into the program required scores as good or better than 50% of college-bound juniors and seniors. And while the intense curriculum covers everything from math to robots to monsters, as far as I can tell, the program varies from student to student. Over the decades, programs that identified academically gifted individuals popped up at various institutions across the world. But the Center for Talented Youth has emerged as a leader in identifying exceptional talent, and boasts alumni like the co-founder of Google, Sergey Brin, founder of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, entertainer and Grammy winner Lady Gaga, and presidential candidate Andrew Yang. The ease of tracking gifted individuals who are processed through the Center for Talented Youth and other programs like it is important to keep in your back pocket for the rest of this video. I have no interest in villainizing or defaming gifted programs, the individuals who attend them, or Johns Hopkins University and its professors. I have simply provided what I deem as necessary context so we can learn more about the forces who circle like buzzards when even the faintest aroma of unused potential lingers in the air. After all, what's the point of a talent search if you're not going to activate the talent you found? The intoxicating tales of fame and success rarely address the most important factor involved in ascending to the upper echelon of society, gaining access to networks of power and influence. Luckily, to demonstrate this principle, I have a handful of famous alumni here, all bound by the strings of time and a web of connections that seem to lead back to one place. For example, Sergey Brin, the co-founder of Google who studied computer science at Stanford, was the world's wealthiest Jewish bachelor until he married Anne Wojcicki, who, with her sister Susan, now the CEO of YouTube, initially gave Google the office space to start their business, all from the comfort of the Wojcicki's humble Menlo Park garage. Stanley Wojcicki, their father, was an employee at CERN, the European Organization for Nuclear Research, former advisor to the United States Department of Energy, and professor of physics at Stanford University. Now, this family tree has the ability to dominate the flow of information on the internet while banking and monetizing the human genome through 23andMe's genetic database, as well as the capacity to surveil and silence any voices of dissent. And that's before we ever touch CERN, the United States Department of Energy, or what it means for all of this power to fester under one roof. Are we having fun yet? Let's follow the web of connections even further. In 1998, Amazon founder and now Washington Post owner Jeff Bezos invested $250,000 in Google. And bear in mind, it's now been revealed how cozy Jeff Bezos and the CIA have gotten in the last decade. In 1999, the former CEO of Lockheed Martin founded InQtel, with the mission to identify and invest in camps developing cutting-edge technologies that serve the United States' national security interests. In other words, InQtel was the CIA's technology investment arm, a way for the CIA to get access to technology being created in the private sector. InQtel is named after Agent Q, the fictional MI6 agent who made gadgets and other wizardry for James Bond. Early on, InQtel invested in a company that provided satellite images and maps, and was later purchased by Google, becoming Google Earth. Over the years, InQtel has dominated Silicon Valley with taxpayer money. But that's not all. We can't forget Mark Zuckerberg, who reportedly spent 3 years with the Center for Talented Youth. In 2004, Zuckerberg founded a social network with endless data mining and surveillance capabilities. Facebook had only reached a few university campuses when it received funding from Peter Thiel, PayPal's co-founder and alumni of Stanford University, who also worked alongside InQtel with his big data analytics software company. The next capital injections came from Peter Thiel's partners in a company called Axel, with partner and former Honeywell employee Jeff Rothschild in the front seat. The man in charge of the whole Axel operation was Jim Breyer. Now I know I'm throwing out a lot of names, but trust me, here's where it gets good. Big Papa Jim Breyer hails from New Haven, Connecticut, and according to his biography, he's the son of Jewish Hungarian parents. His father was an executive at the International Data Group, while his mother was an executive at Honeywell, a company where the previously mentioned Jeff Rothschild was an engineer. Honeywell not only makes consumer and smart home products, but they are also in the consortium that assembles all of the nuclear bombs in the United States arsenal. Jim Breyer is yet another Stanford alumni in this video, and since investing in Facebook, he's been pretty busy. He is a member on the Council of Foreign Relations, Legendary Entertainment, Circle Financial, and 21st Century Fox. He's previously served on the board of Walmart, Marvel Entertainment, the Walt Disney Company, and Dell Incorporated. Furthermore, Jim Breyer is a founding member of the Stanford Institute for Human-Assisted Artificial Intelligence, which launched this year. Oh wait, I'm not finished. InQtel's first CEO, Gelman Louie, who also served on the board of the National Venture Capital Association, served on the board with Jim Breyer. But their connections don't end there. Before Louie was the CEO of InQtel, Jim Breyer had invested in his company, MicroProse, a video game publisher and developer. Recently, Louie was presented with the Director's Award by the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. If we take a step back, it's quite a small but impressive web of connections from academia to Silicon Valley to Hollywood, all the way to Washington, D.C. You could definitely make the argument that if it's a program's goal to find the most gifted of students, it's a given that some of those students would move on to become successful and well-known. But isn't it so fascinating that the famous individuals from the Center for Talented Youth happen to be some of the most influential people in the entire world? People who control the lion's share of information and influence popular culture on the daily. Not only that, but these individuals, who are no doubt clever all on their own, function an awful lot like government assets. Think about it, they use their platforms to shut down public dissent, collect personal data, condition the public to constant government surveillance, eliminating the expectation of privacy altogether. One moment, our pop stars are wearing meat dresses, and the next moment, they're interviewing outlets for alleged government whistleblowers like WikiLeaks' Julian Assange. And heck, they even run for president of the United States. Sergey Brin didn't have the first or the best search engine. Mark Zuckerberg did not have the first or the best social media platform. Lady Gaga wasn't the first Madonna, nor will she be the last. And Andrew Yang, well, full disclosure, I've purposely avoided politics in this video. But what all these people have in common is that they all paid the price of admission. And while I'm airing out everyone's dirty laundry, let me be 100% transparent with everyone watching. If I researched all these connections and concluded, even for a fraction of a second, that the aforementioned individuals and government agencies were operating in the sole interest of United States national security for the benefit of the average citizen, then I would not have made this video. Not a chance. From Sergey Brin to Mark Zuckerberg, the Wojcicki family, and the Breyers, one thing unites these folks, and here's a hint. It's not their patriotism for the United States. The practice of selecting the best of the best, grooming them, and then tapping them to play their role on the world stage is a long-established practice, an echo of something very old. Not exclusive to Yale's Skull and Bones or headhunters who prey on harmless academic programs for talented youth. But it would seem that now, in the age of endless information, the methods of deception are equally as endless. Like little landmines for us to stumble over, should we keep the wool pulled down over our eyes? What do you think, internet friends? Let me know. You know, I always look forward to reading your comments. I have a new website where you can find me should anything happen to my YouTube channel. If you like my work, please sign up for my newsletter on there and support my channel on Patreon. Bye!